Blog Talk Radio.
Not to be is a commandment.
I sent this out, I believe, last week. We went over the first part, and I put it on my heart to go ahead and do the second part of this, the law of B-E. You know, they call it, in some instances, some of the commandments where he says, to be blessed art thou, the Beatitudes. But we're dealing with the things that he specifically tells us to do, either directly Messiah told us or one of his disciples told us. And, you know, we have to understand that all of the disciples spoke by the permission and by the Holy Spirit, by the Ruach HaKodesh. And so we're going to continue in this vein on this morning. So I pray that you are ready to, that you have your pencil and your paper. Again, I sent this out to you last week. You should have it in your email. Something that I recommend that you print off, you know, put it on your wall. Because when he says, you know, you have to consider the cost of what it's going to take to serve him, then the law to be tells you the things that, you know, you're required to do and not to do. It is not all of the laws, because there's only about 74 laws of how to be, and about 30 of how not to be, what not to be, what not to do. And a lot of times people are looking for guidance as far as what should they be doing and what should they not be doing. You know, and it's in his word, but we got to, you know, we got to actually take it at face value. And what he says to be, it is not, as I said, it's not a suggestion. It is, you know, a commandment. And so when quote-unquote Christians say, no, you're not up under the law, the truth of the matter is the law in the New Testament is way more stricter than the law in the Old Testament. The law in the Old Testament, you know, you had to have, if you broke it, there had to be at least three witnesses to testify against you, two to three witnesses to testify against you. But the Most High says that under the New Covenant, he's going to look at your heart. And he, you know, he's the discerner of the heart. So, you know, you can't, you might be able to hide your heart from me or from, you know, your fellow brother or sister. But you can't hide your heart from the Most High. And so he says, I'm going to judge you according to your heart. We might say, well, we got a good heart. You know, individually, nobody wants to think that they're a bad person. Nobody wants to think that of themselves. You know, truthfully speaking. And, you know, we want to, we're weak, you know, we want to make excuses. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High says that, you know, he's a discerner of the heart. And that, you know, if you do something in your heart, then you are guilty of it. So if you look at a, you know, if a man looks at a woman too long and he starts to let his mind wander, and he lets his mind go there, then he says, you're guilty of lusting after her. And, you know, he says, you can be guilty of adultery just by thinking of it too hard, too long. Just a second. Okay, so he doesn't do that. And so I lost my train of thought, got interrupted. All right, so we're going to go ahead and proceed on this morning, understanding the law to be. Just a second, let me give this person one last instruction. Okay. So, you know, the Most High doesn't, he gives his instructions, and that's what he expects us to follow. So that's what all the scriptures in the New Testament are all about, your heart. What's in your heart? Okay. And the more I study this word, and the more Most High reveals to me that, you know, he's looking at our heart, and the scriptures are written in such a way to reveal what is in your heart. So just as in the Old Testament, when the Most High told Israel, when I send you into the land, do not follow after the people of the land. Do not follow after the people of the land. And I'm going to see whether you will follow me or not. That's what he says. I'm going to see if you're going to follow me or not. It was a test. I'm going to leave some people in the land. To see if you will follow me. In the New Testament, he has the scripture written to see if you're going to follow his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. Is it in your heart to do it? Or is it in your heart to think that you're at liberty, that you have liberty not to do it, that you're at liberty to serve him the way you want to serve him? When he is very specific. One thing that I've learned about the Most High, and we'll get started here, what I've learned in all my studies is that, number one, he doesn't play. Number two, he's very specific about what he wants. He's very specific about it. And he didn't give Israel leeway to do what they wanted to do. He said, don't add to or take away from the instructions that I give to you. Whatever I tell you to do, do it exactly the way that I told you to do it. Don't sit there and improvise. Don't you know, make something up. Do exactly what I want you to do. And so we have to understand that he says, I change not. So when you see liberty in the New Testament, that liberty is to see whether you're going to do what you want to do or whether you're going to do what he says to do. That's where the test is at. So if I tell you that XYZ is right and STUV is wrong, if I tell you that in the law, and then we come into the New Testament, then I expect you to understand that XYZ is right and STUV is wrong. And if you get an instruction that's contrary to that, you should fall back on the original instruction, because that's what's going to give you life. It's like when you teach your kids something and then you give them a test to see if what you taught them, did they learn it? Did they actually really learn it? Did they, you know, do they remember it, and did they learn it? So you might, you know, not all tests are straightforward. You know, you got things that are yes and no. And then you have some questions that ask for your opinion. What do you understand? To see if you really comprehended what it is that was being said to you. The New Testament is more so comprehension. Did you comprehend the law? Did you hear me? And are you going to choose to do what you want to do rather than what I've already told you? So that's the test. But he says, now, rather than there being witnesses against you or against you, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at your heart and see, was it your intent to do what I said to do, or was it your intent to do what you wanted to do? That's a big difference. a very big difference, and it's a lot tougher standard. And so I don't know, you know, why, you know, the church thinks that it has it so easy when it is much harder. When you're responsible for your thoughts, when you're responsible for your motives, see, you could have a scheme in your mind that you're going to cause X, Y, Z to happen, and your motive for it is so that you can gain something from it. So you're being nice because you want to gain something. But you really could care less about the person or the situation. You just know there's something in it for you. Rather than you're doing something out of being genuinely concerned for the person. And so the Most High says, I can see those things and I can discern those things. And that's what I'm going to judge you on, what's in your heart. So when we look at the New Testament and we see all these different, you know, the different laws that are in the New Testament, and we're just dealing with the law to be on this morning, be, things that he says to be or to be not. We'll do, I don't know if we'll get into the be not on this morning, but things to be, they are not a suggestion. They are what help you to be able to be his disciple and walk in his ways. He doesn't just leave us out there hanging saying, hey, make it up as you go. Do your best. No, he tells us exactly what he wants. And he tells us exactly how to get there. And he tells us what is acceptable and what is not. We just have to believe it and then do it. You know, that what I'm finding is there's not really a whole lot of need for interpretation in the scripture. There's not a whole lot of need for discernment. Either he's going to allow you to see it or he's not going to allow you to see it. And I think it's a matter of the condition of your heart. I really believe that's what it comes down to. The condition of your heart. Why are you into this? Why do you want to belong to him? You can't hide it from him. But it really comes down to, are you afraid to go to the lake of fire? Are you genuinely wanting to love him? Because see, when people do things out of fear, if the fear is no longer there, they won't do it. But if you do it from a position of love and genuine respect, understanding that who you're messing with, they don't play around. Once you understand that you're supposed to fear him and you have to fear him, but you understand what his motives are. I'm looking for a righteous people. I'm looking for a people that want to do right, that want to do good. Because they choose to do right and choose to do good. And I'm giving them what the standard is for that, what my standard is. Now, are you going to choose to do it because you want to do it, because you want to be that righteous person? You want to be good in the eyes of the Most High? Or are you doing it because you don't want to go to the lake? There's a difference in their motivation for that. Still got to do right, but the motivation of why you're doing right. That's why he says, first is to fear me and then love me. Understanding that I do terrible things and I'm going to do terrible things to everybody that falls on my bad side. Going to the lake of fire is not a good thing. It's not a pretty thing. Matter of fact, if you really understood it, you understand that you're alive and you're on fire. You can't die. You can't be consumed, but you can feel all that pain. And if you've ever burnt yourself, you know, burning yourself is no pleasant feeling at all. And then when you are in the fire, You know, at least in this mortal body, if you, you know, for people that they have burnt up, burnt at the stake, sooner or later they pass out and they die. But in the lake, you can't pass out and you can't die. So it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. So that's not something that we want. And he says, this is what's going to happen to all those who are disobedient, who just can't learn to obey him and to love him because he is love. He says, but you know what? I'm not a fool. I'm not going to be mocked. So you might think that you're getting away with something. You might think that you can come to me halfway, but I'm looking for those who want me, truly want me, and want this standard of living. That's who I'm looking for. So this is what the B laws are all about. So let us go ahead and start on this morning. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, those that have called in, those that are on the internet. No matter what country you're in, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, the European theater, the Far East, the Middle East, any of the communist bloc countries that are allowed to listen to this broadcast and that this ministry has spread into. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We are endeavoring to get into the kingdom. We're endeavoring to be Messiah-like, to be Christ-like. We want to be the children of the Most High. We want when he returns, if we are still alive, for him to look at us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in into my blessing. If we die before he returns, then we rest assured that we have given it our best shot and that he is able, he's going to resurrect us one way or the other. He's going to resurrect us. So we can rest assured of that. Some to everlasting bliss and favor in the kingdom, and some to everlasting torment. There's only two choices. There is no in-between. There is no purgatory. There is no go serving your time in the lake of fire and then coming out and entering into the kingdom. He doesn't allow for that. And I don't know where men are getting these things from because they're not in the scriptures. So he says that this torment is forever. Your salvation is forever. If you make it, if you make the grade, you make the cut, it's forever. Now, he is going to, you know, make this available to both good and bad. That's in the scripture. Good and bad. And the bad, you know, those who you know, it's going to be on him how he does this. But, you know, those that are invited to the wedding feast, he said, go out and invite both good and bad, that my feast might be furnished, that my dinner, my wedding dinner, be furnished. The wedding doesn't take place until after the millennial kingdom. Then that's when the wedding takes place. And so he says, go out and invite them. You got to be worthy to be invited to the dinner, much less be the bride, to be a guest at the dinner. You got to be worthy. So this is what we are endeavoring to do. We're endeavoring to enter into his kingdom according to his standards, not according to ours. Because we use our standards, you know, we'll fall way short because we, you know, this flesh is nothing to play with. This world is nothing to play with. But he says what he wants. And so we are endeavoring to do what it is that he wants. And he said, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. So he doesn't play. And for all those who love him, he loves them. You got to understand that. He does not love everyone. You won't find that in the scriptures. He loves everyone that loves him. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, it's just very simple. If you disobey me, you make yourself my enemy, my adversary, my enemy. If you obey me and keep my commandments, then do you show that you love me, and I will love you. If you choose to do otherwise and still says that he loves you because he loves everybody, then you are deceiving yourself. It's not the God of the Holy Bible. And we can't run around as children our whole life in misunderstanding, in, you know, thinking that we can just live this life and do what we want to do and then he will accept us. You know, if you go back to the flood, Noah, to the flood, out of all the people in the world, you put a number to that. How many people were in the world at that time? I don't really have a clue. But let's just say it was 100 people. I think it was way more than that. But let's just say it was 100. Only 8 got saved out of the 100. If it was 1,000, only 8 people got saved. If it was 1,000,000, only 8 people got saved. You have to think about these things in this manner. So he's not taking everyone. If you practice wickedness, evil, unrighteousness, he's not accepting you. And we got to realize that. He doesn't play. So, you know, whatever number you want to put to how many people were in the days of Noah, how many people were on the earth, you say, "Dave, start it over." Now, in these last days, we got billions of people on this planet. And every day, millions are added. So when he comes back, however many people he's going to save, it's not going to be the vast majority of people. If he would only save 8 out of the original bunch, you know, you and I really should be very afraid. We really should be very afraid. And we should know that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. We should believe him. So let's continue. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham. Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion, and this really is the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you on this day. We give you honor. And we worship you on this your day that you have appointed, that you have said that those that are obedient to you, Father, that this is the day that they should observe and to worship you and to praise you. So we keep the Sabbath, Father, at your commandment. And we will not do anything else other than what you command. We will not add to your take away, Father. So this is what you have commanded that we do. And we just glorify you on today. We honor you in your Sabbath. And we honor your creation. So you said in 6 days you created heaven and earth and the seas and all that there is in. And on the seventh you rested, Father, and you commanded your people to rest. So, Father, we glorify you on this morning. And we honor you. And we praise your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you. All glory belongs to you, O Yah. Hallelujah. We worship you and you alone, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and we have walked contrary to you. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And our testimony will be, well, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. And our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for you, our love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all those that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, Father, that they would come and obey your voice and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work into the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. And on this morning, we are just going to get 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I'm going to read it as the scriptures, just as it's written in the scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, and they is Israel in these verses, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, in the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. And we will have the blowing of the shofar. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
I've been changed.
Amen. Amen. I pray that this tree helps you to change. I pray that, you know, you desire, your desire is to enter into his kingdom in spirit and in truth. Foundations of the of discipleship, and I'm not going to read the verses on this morning. I'm just going to give you the six foundations of what make a disciple according to Messiah. One, seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Two, seek Elohim with your whole heart. You'll find that in Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7, Psalms chapter 19 and verse 2, Psalms chapter 119, Psalms chapter 119 and verse 2, Psalms chapter 119 and verse 34. Three, value the kingdom more than anything else in your life. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. Four, if Messiah or Elohim is not the most important person in your life, you cannot be his disciple. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. You must consider what it's going to cost you. Five, you must consider what it's going to cost you to serve Messiah. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 32. And six, you must be willing to forsake all for his kingdom. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Your foundations of discipleship. What he says is required and what it's going to take to enter into his kingdom. All right. Let's start off this morning with the book of Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to get verse 13. Romans, chapter 12, and verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. Now, the body of Messiah is supposed to take care of itself. The members in the body are supposed to look one out for another. And he says that none should have more than the other. And I know that's a hard concept for a lot of us to accept because of capitalism and because of the way we were raised. You know, you work hard for what you get. And then, you know, you are, quote unquote, securing yourself. But the Most High says he is your security, and you're supposed to rely on him. So he gives us the story of the man who had accumulated so much, and, you know, he accumulated it for his security, and he had accumulated so much that he built an extra barn, and he put his stuff in there. And then that night he died. So all of that stuff that he worked for to acquire for his own security went to somebody else. And he's saying, that's not how I want you to live this life. He said, I want you to live this life looking out for your fellow man. Look out for the welfare of your fellow man, and they're supposed to look out for yours. And none of us are to have more than what we need. And he taught Israel this in the wilderness with the manna and the water and the quail. Now, granted, them walking through the wilderness, he says, I have to get this verse. Can't think of what this verse is off the top of my head. But their clothes and their shoes and stuff, they didn't wear out. So they had to buy new clothes. They didn't have to worry about, you know, going out and finding new clothes or killing animals for skins and all that kind of stuff to make new shoes. Their clothes did not wear out. But at the same time, every day he gave them manna and quail meat and water sufficient for that day. They were not to have more than they needed for that day. And then on the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, then he would provide it for them for 2 days. And he says, you know, eat what you're going to eat for today, and then eat the rest on the Sabbath, because you're not supposed to go out and gather anything. You're not supposed to light a fire. You are to rest and concentrate on me. So the principles that he was teaching Israel is that I'm going to provide for you every day. And I want you to count on me to provide for you every day. And I'm going to make a way for you every day. Now, when we start growing up into a nation and into a people, he says, hey, don't be selfish and only look out for yourself. Everybody that's poor, not poor because they did something wrong. Life is cruel. And, you know, as the poor, you will always have with you. And the reason that we will always have them with us is because we're not going to do what he said to do. He said, open your hand wide to the poor. And when there is no more poor among you, that's the whole goal, that we would all have everything equal, that we would, every man would look out for the welfare of his fellow man. I look out for yours, you look out for mine. I'm not trying to get over on you, you're not trying to get over on me. You rather, you're trying to what? Bless me. This is his ideal of the kingdom. So he wants, if somebody else has an abundance of something, that they would share it with the community so that everybody would have equally. Distribute as the saints have need. But because of, as I said, you know, the different places that we grow up at, and especially in this capitalistic system that teaches you, you know, get all that you can. Get it, you know, however you need to get it. If you got to sleep with somebody to get it, get it. If you got to take it from somebody, take it. If you got to trick them, trick them. However you need to do it. Work hard. Then you find out that, hey, everybody is not everything that they say that they are, and you find end up finding yourself doing things that you may not necessarily have wanted to do to get, you know, to get ahead, to get over. And so, you know, one of the things that I was taught in business when I was working IT for, you know, this billion-dollar company, and all of the real estate agents were in themselves millionaires in their own right. And, you know, this game they would play is this cat and mouse game. Each one, you know, was trying to sleep. They wouldn't be trying to sleep with the other. It was a game where it was so much flirtation going on that, you know, some people were actually sleeping together. But if you actually fell and slept with somebody, that game was over, and they weren't going to do business with you. Okay, so it was all about, you know, the game, make it appear that you are going to, you know, that you're all interested in this and this flirtatiousness going on. And if you were a woman, then, you know, you had your breasts hanging out and you were trying to lure people in with your body, but you couldn't sleep with them. You could give them a promise, like not even a promise, like an unspoken promise. Yeah, if you act right, you'll get some of this. But you're never supposed to get any of it. That was part of the game, because as soon as you slept with somebody, then they would not do business with you. And that was part of the game. And, you know, they were hipping me to all of this. And I'm like, okay. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of networking and stuff goes on like that. And so, you know, depending upon what your appearance is and how attractive you were and how fit you were, how tall you were, what shade your color was, all kind of things go into this stuff. And it was all for self. It was all for self gain. Not about, you know, about maybe taking care of your family, providing for your family. But the Most High says that when you come to him, that even your family changes. If your family don't want to follow him and you follow him, then your brothers and sisters that are following him are your family. That's why when Messiah went home, he said, you know, in a prophet's own country, it's the hardest place to be accepted because, you know, they knew you when you were little. The world knew you when you were in the world and what you were doing in the world. They still see that old house. They see the outside you, but they don't know that you made a change on the inside. They don't know that it's the same resident, the same house, but a different occupant. You've changed. And so they want to, you know, judge you according to what they used to know of you. And this is how the world sees you. But when you come to Messiah, what he's really looking for, he's looking for a people. We are to be one body, literally, one body. We're to have all things in common. We're to have the same goal. And the hardest thing for our people, quote unquote, the African American, Hebrew Israelite, so-called Negro, one of the hardest things for us to come to do is to come together as a people. Now, it's not all of us, but the vast majority of it's a problem, especially those who all of us, whether you came from the islands or whether you came from the mainland here, we all came out of slavery. But then some of us were left in prejudice, super prejudice environment where racism and prejudice, Jim Crow, all these things continue to contribute to what I want to call the PTSS or post-traumatic slave disorder, where, you know, you're still suffering from those things, from slavery and that mentality. And then the system is designed to keep you down. The system is designed, the darker your skin is, the less help you get, the more, you know, the more they want to say, hey, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, when they are in fact doing everything they can to keep you from pulling yourself up. So yeah, can you make it? Sure, you can make it. You're never going to make it to the degree that you could actually have made it if you were a different color. Let me just put it that way. And shade makes a difference. So being in this environment, and that's not making excuses for anyone, that's just telling you the way it is, that the way it actually is. Some of us can get up very high. Some of us, we are stuck with a job, being just over broke. We lose our job, we broke. And that is just the way it is. And what Messiah is saying, when we come into him, that if we come into him, those that he blesses, that have been blessed, to obtain more than those that didn't, that we are to share equally. You only need so much house. You only need so much car. You only need so much food. Anything more than what you need, the scriptures really say it's in excess. It's in excess. And so we get caught on that, and that's the American dream. Live in excess. Do what it's gonna, you know, do what's gonna be that makes you happy. Impress your friends. Keep up with the Joneses. So brother so-and-so has this Lamborghini. You have the means, you need to have a Lamborghini. Brother so-and-so has this mansion. You have the means, you need to have this mansion. When you really don't need the mansion, you don't need the Lamborghini. It's all for self-indulgence. And it's contrary to the word of the Most High. It's contrary to, quote-unquote, the Christian lifestyle. It's, quote-unquote, it's contrary to the body of Messiah. And so we got to understand that. So he says you have to be of the mindset that you're going to distribute to the necessity of the saints and give into hospitality. You know, we can do some of these things in different degrees. But the truth of the matter is, when we start getting off of self, then we find out that we can do these things in a more excellent way. In a more excellent way. You know, and the thing is that, I guess for me, I can speak about me. You know, you grow up and you are taught a certain mentality. I was taught to be a provider, taught to go out and to work. And if no matter what, if I had to work two or three jobs to get what it was that I wanted my family to have, then to provide for my family to the best means that I could, okay? And that may be a different level than somebody else, somebody that was able to make millions upon millions. they were able to provide, you know, differently for their family. But the truth of the matter is, as I got into the Word, the Scriptures, and I got into studying, this is a very serious thing, and it's contrary to capitalism. It's contrary to that mindset. You know, there's nothing wrong with democracy. There's nothing wrong with most of the systems that they have in place. The problem is the people running those systems. That's what Messiah came to address. So in his kingdom and his citizens, his citizens have to look out for one another. His citizens have to provide for each other. His body has to fit together. It's like your own body. When you eat, the nourishment should go through and nourish every part of your body. And then if you overconsume, the body's going to what? Store it. And so we start getting that tire around the middle. Our thighs might start to get a little bit chunky because we have overconsumed, and the body will store it. But it's storing for the rest of the body to use it. So your body's not going to say, hey, I'm going to feed the brain, and everybody else can starve in the body. No, it's going to distribute as the body has need. And this is what Messiah says, how his body operates. And if we say that we are part of his body, then we must understand that this is the mentality that he wants us to come to. As a nation, he wants us to come to that. As a people, he wants us to come to that understanding. And that we're not doing things to take advantage of people, but that we're doing things and distributing as everybody has need. So that this mindset alone, you know, the world wants to say, oh, well, we'll take care of the poor and we'll give of them, you know, of our leftovers. But that's not really the kingdom. And that's not really what he wants to establish in the earth. And so as a community, this is what he wants. He wants us to be together. If you go back and you read the book of Acts, and I challenge everyone listening to read the book of Acts for details. It's the early church. It is how he wanted it set up. And it's after, you know, some centuries that things started going awry. Men start trying to take it over. He wanted to control it. Okay? But when he comes back, what he's going to be looking for, he says, will I find faith in the earth? Will I find it? Will I find you doing what I told you to do? And so this is, you know, I can't speak for everybody else. I'm speaking for myself. It's what I'm endeavoring to do what it is that he has had written, that what he has put on my heart, that we are to have all things in common and we are to look out one for another. We are to look out for each other's well-being and that he blesses us differently to bless the body. Not to consume it upon ourselves, what, you know, we have been taught to do, to consume it upon ourselves. And it's a hard thing, I know, it's a hard thing to break out of. I really do understand that. It's contrary to what we have been taught our whole lives. But we have to become this. We have to start raising, if he chooses not to come back in our lifetime, we have to start raising a generation that's going to do what it is that he says to do. We have to start raising a generation that is going to live by his standards, his laws, his commandments. We were born into a corrupt system. We were born into a system that's contrary to his word. But as we learn, we have to do, and we have to pass it to the next generation. This is really what this is all about. Until his return. So we can't say, well, you know, he's not coming back in my lifetime, so I'm going to enjoy the fruits of my labor. I'm going to do everything exactly as the world is doing. And then say, we belong to him. He's going to say, no, you don't belong to me. You did exactly what you wanted to do. So we have to come as we, we're mostly older. We have to learn and come out of the childhood mentality of being like the world. That's what we knew. That's what we were born into, and that's what we know. But we want to become, we're becoming Christ-like. We're becoming like Messiah. His priorities was not this world. His priority was his fellow man. And if we want to make it into his kingdom, we have to become like him. So we have to learn to share. We have to learn to be hospitable. We have to learn that, you know what? We are not all created with the same capability. Everybody can't be a brain. Everybody can't be a muscle. Everybody can't be a foot. Everybody can't be an eye. We have to learn where we fit in the body and be satisfied doing that job and do it to the best of our ability. So we got, a lot of people wanting to be the brain. And they don't want to be a foot. They don't want to be the butt. They don't want to be the hand. They don't want to, follow. They want to be leaders. And the bottom line is, we have one head. And if we have the same spirit, that's why it's important that we have the spirit of the Most High and that we are directed by the spirit of the Most High so that we can be of one mind. If not, we all come with our own ideal of what's right, what's wrong, which way, we should be moving, which way we should go. We'll come with our own mind on that thing. That's human nature, and that's what we have been taught. But Messiah says, you are to be of one mind. Be of one mind. Let's drop down to verse 16. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Be of the same mind. You get two, three people together, you got two, three different opinions. 10 people together, you got 10 different opinions, 10 different understandings. And it is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that is supposed to make us of one mind. His influence on us. Telling us and leading us and guiding us, ordering our steps. Reading in the scriptures and believing what we're reading. And not only believing it, not just being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Can't be better than the weakest link. That's why he says condescend, descend to those that are of the lowest estate, the poorest among you. Don't make them feel like they're nothing because they didn't have what you had. They weren't able to obtain what you obtained. They may not have had the same ability that you had, or you may have been, the Most High put you in the right place at the right time, or society looked at you a different way, and you are able to achieve. Whatever the reason, just condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. I'm better than you are. I got my master's degree. I got my doctor's degree. I've been the head of so-and-so. I've owned my own company. I've done this. I've done that. to put all that stuff away. Use it to the good of the body. Use it to help your fellow man. But don't be conceited. Don't think so highly of yourself that you place yourself above other people. So I want you to condescend yourself. I want you to condescend within yourself. I want you to self-reflect on yourself that you're no better than that beggar over there. But by the grace of the Most High, there go you. There go I. That could be me. Could have had a sickness, an illness that didn't allow me. Could have had back issues or some other type of problem. Couldn't cope with what's going on in society. Because this world is wicked. So we look at people and we want to judge them by what they have or what they don't have, what they have achieved and what they haven't achieved. He says, condescend yourself. Lower yourself to their position. Somebody's got to be the janitor. Somebody's got to shovel the poop. Bring yourself low. Because in the end, the reward is the same. So be of one mind. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things. Don't be puffed up. Don't get full of yourself. Don't think that you're greater than somebody else because you achieve whatever. But see, in the world, that's what the world goes by. That's what the world tells you to do. Get you to education. Get you these accolades from men. These awards. You accomplished this. You accomplished that. I lived for that stuff for years. Because, you know, in the military, you don't get rich. You don't get rich being in the military. You got a fixed paycheck. And the only way you go up in pay is you make more rank. And so most of the time you're working for the accolades of men. Well, how well did you do this? How many of these did you achieve? How many widgets did you make? What was the standard of them? How good were they? That's the world. And that's what he doesn't want us to be. He wants us to look at the poor among us and say, how can I lift my brother or my sister? If they are going without, then and I have, then I need to what? Provide. Especially if they are in the body. You can't just say they're in the body to get a free handout. That'll show up. And people, you know, people are concerned about that. Somebody's going to take advantage of me. Somebody's going to get something they don't deserve. Trust me, those things will show up, and the scriptures have ways for us to deal with that. Okay, so they got a few free meals, and they got some free clothes, but they don't want to walk right. You can't be amongst us. Love you, but you got to go. The scriptures make ways for us to deal with such things, but we have to be of the mindset that we are the same. And so if they're keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, if they're walking in all his ways, and they have less than you, then he says, give them what they need. If you have an abundance of something, share it and give them what they need. And then when they get an abundance of something that you don't have, they're supposed to share with you. We have that going on to a degree, but nowhere near like what he wants. Nowhere near like what he wants. So let's not be wise in our own conceit, thinking that we are, you know, we're all that in a bag of chips. Because at the end of the day, we put on our clothes, our underwear, our pants, our shoes, our socks, all the same. At the end of the day, if he doesn't come back, we all going to go by the way of the grave. Can't take none of this with us. And how what we did is important, because it says, that's what I'm going to judge you on. I'm going to judge you on your work, what you did and what you didn't do. And if it was all about self, you have no reward. So we have to teach the next generation to be better than we were. We have to teach our young ladies, hey, you can't run around sleeping with everybody. You got to teach our young men, hey, you can't run around sleeping with the young ladies like and treating them like meat. You defile them. Can't be doing that. Different standards. Can't be abusing each other. Can't keep, be coveting, you know, if we all got the same, what is there to covet? If you got a Pinto in the driveway and I got a Pinto in the driveway, what, I'm going to covet your Pinto because yours is dark brown and mine is light brown? When we have all things equal, then there's nothing to covet. That don't mean that we run around sharing each other's wives or husbands and stuff either, though. But according to the scripture, according to the word, according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, we're to be of one mind. And if we are all, you know, so individual, you never come to one mind that way. If we all are living by a different standard, can't come to one mind that way. That's why the standard has to be the word of the Most High. It is written. That's what Messiah said. It is written. Has to be the standard. Let's keep moving. Go to Romans chapter 13. The book of Romans chapter 13. Get verse 4. Actually, we need to get verses 1 through 4 so you can get the concept here. Okay, verses 1 through 4. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of Elohim. The powers that be are ordained of Elohim. Whosoever therefore resists the power resisteth the ordinances of Elohim. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Now he's talking about those rulers in his kingdom, those rulers that are supposed to be in the church, his body. But even in this world, the Most High puts into power who he wants to be in power, and if they abuse it, if they misuse it, they have to answer for that. You're responsible for your part. So if you know you're supposed to be lawful and the ruler is unlawful, you don't become unlawful because the ruler is unlawful. Because you still have to answer for you. And we know that the Most High, if your ancestors were quote unquote unlawful, you may have been sent into slavery. And the nation that he sent you into may have been there to be a belt, to whip you. And that is in fact what happened to Israel. But he said those nations went too far. They went further than what he said to go. But Israel was sent into captivity because of what? Disobedience. Israel was supposed to be the head and not the tail. But they were made the tail because of disobedience. We were made the tail as the descendants of them because of disobedience. We were supposed to be the lenders and not the borrowers. But all that got flipped because of disobedience, being lawless, being disobedient to the word of the Most High. That's how all that happened. So we found ourselves scattered to the four winds in every nation. And he says, because of your disobedience, now you're in subjection to some people who are going to mistreat you. You're in subjection to some people that don't want you to be the head. And yes, I sent you there because you wanted to be like them. So I sent you there and made you their servant. I sent you there because of your lawlessness, disobedience. So their rulers are there to keep you in check. But then they can be abusive within themselves. Well, we're not gonna judge fairly. We're not gonna judge righteously. We're going to do everything to your disadvantage. If the law will allow $100 relief, we're gonna let you have 25 or 35. But if it's one of our own people, we're going to give them the 100%. They'll get the 100. We're not going to be fair. You break the law, we're going to give you a harsher sentence. We're going to give you the max sentence. But if it's one that is in favor with us, well, we might give them a slap on the wrist. You're not going to feel the full penalty of the law. But we find ourselves in these positions because we were disobedient. Our forefathers were disobedient. Say, oh, you want to sleep around? Then let me send you into slavery so you don't have a choice whether you sleep around or not. That choice is going to be given to somebody else. They're going to tell you who to sleep with and who not to sleep with. They're not going to treat your women with dignity. It's going to come in on them whenever they feel like it. Give them to whomever they want to give them to. Make them have children by whomever they want them to have children by because they belong to them and the children belong to them. All of these things are going to come on you because of your disobedience, your lawlessness. So we find ourselves post-slavery. We find ourselves in a society that we keep trying to get up in, but half of the society don't want to see us get up. They really wanted us to stay in slavery. Those code words, make America great again, was not about the economy. It was not about the welfare of this country. It was about social status. We're losing control. It's not the way it used to be. You're getting too uppity. You think you're equal with us. It's what that was all about. But the Most High said they went too far. We're supposed to respect their law. Unless their laws contradict his. If you look in the scripture, whenever Israel was sent into captivity, Daniel, look at these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are times, you know, these are testimonies of when Israel had been disobedient and had been sent into captivity. Still had to obey the laws of the Most High, had to obey the laws of the land unless the laws of the land contradicted the laws of the Most High, such as in, you shall not make an image and bow down to it. What Nebuchadnezzar do? Nebuchadnezzar, men had a statue built of him. And they knew Daniel couldn't bow down to anything. They knew what the law said. So they created a law that everybody in the kingdom had to bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar to get at Daniel. That law contradicted the law of the Most High, and Daniel wouldn't do it. And the king loved Daniel. He said, but you know what? It's a law. And since you won't bow down, I don't have any other choice but to throw you in the lion's den. He says, and I pray that your God, your Elohim, saves you. And that king went to bed that night, fasting and praying for Daniel. He loved Daniel that much, but Daniel was supposed to be in subjection to his law. So when he came down and opened the door the next morning and Daniel's still alive, because the Most High kept the lions off of him, delivered him out of their mouth, then those men that set up Daniel, them and their families were thrown in there with the lions. And those lions ain't good. So we are to be in subjection to the laws of the land, but if those laws contradict the laws of the Most High, then we have to be willing to even go to our death to keep the laws of the Most High. His laws transcend the laws of man. This is what the scriptures are telling us. So Daniel was willing to go into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to go into the fire. And it says, one like unto the Son of Man met them in the fire, and the fire didn't hurt them. And this fire was supposed to be like, you know, they heated this thing up super hot because they wouldn't obey the laws that were contrary to the Most High. And we are to be the same way. The Most High put in power all people. And they're supposed to be righteous judges. They're supposed to be righteous rulers. But if, you know, most rulers turn out to be evil and wicked, then if they do something evil and wicked, then we are commanded that we keep the laws of the Most High, even unto death. So where the law says that it is legal for a man and two men to marry, that's contrary to the word of the Most High. We can't go along with that. You can't say, oh, well, I know two gay people, and, you know, they are good people, and I don't see nothing wrong with it. You better get on the side of the Most High. Put your personal opinion away. Because the Most High has never asked any of us, well, what do you think about that? You think it's okay for two gay people to get together? He didn't consult with anybody. He said it is an abomination. Now, what you or I personally think is of no matter. We say we follow him. We are supposed to be of the same mind as him. And then we have to all be of the same mind because that's what mind he is of. That's his thought on that. That's his judgment on that. So we obey the powers unless they contradict what the Most High says. And in order to do that, you got to know what he says. You got to know his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgment. You got to know them so that when man contradicts them, when man goes against them, then you know what you stand on, and you know why you stand on it. and we should all be of the same mind. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That's what they're supposed to be. And especially if we're talking about the body of Messiah, then the rulers in the body aren't supposed to be a terror to good works. They're supposed to be righteous leaders. They're supposed to be judging righteously and justly. And be a terror to what? Evil. To evil works. Wilt thou then not be afraid of power? Because if the law, here's the thing. If we're ruling righteously and we're ruling justly and we're ruling by the word of the Most High, 99.999999% of all the Most High's commandments, his laws, his statutes, his judgments call for death if you transgress. For death. If you transgress. So it's supposed to be a terror to evil, because if you transgress, that's not a good thing. That's an evil. That's wickedness. So we got to understand that. And in the coming kingdom, when Messiah takes his chair, when he takes the throne on this earth, says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Strict. It ain't going to be, oh, I messed up. Slap on the wrist. Oh, you do better next time. No. That's not how it's going to be. He's going to carry out the judgment for whatever you did. If the penalty caused, if the judgment, the Most High has already made judgments about certain things, and he has told us what these judgments are. If this happens, this is my judgment. This is what you will do about it. He doesn't give you, he doesn't give us the leeway to discuss it and come up with our own plan, to come up with our own judgment out of it. I have already judged on these matters. And if this is what happens, if somebody does this, this is what will happen. And this is what's going to happen in his kingdom. That he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to rule righteously. He's going to be a terror to evil. He says, now, if you overcome and you get a crown to rule, if I give you a city, or if I give you a block, or if I give you a state or a country to rule over because you were that faithful, you're going to have to rule like I rule, with a rod of iron. Somebody messes up, what does the law require? What is the judgment of the law? You don't have leeway. The Most High says, I'm not a respecter of persons. You can't buy me off. I've already determined these things. But Most High, these are the circumstances. He says, the only two circumstances I want to hear is, did you do it intentionally or did you do it ignorantly? What was your heart? Did you know it was wrong and still did it? Carry out the judgment. Were you ignorant of the law? You didn't know? Okay, now you know. Go and sin no more. I will have mercy on you because you didn't do it intentionally. That's the only thing you're going to be caring about. That's what's in this word. We want to put something else on him. Oh, no, he's all merciful, and he's all loving, and he's all kind, and he's all forgiving. He said, I made a vehicle, and I made a mechanism and a path for you to come back to me. You get to do that one time, and I'll forgive everything you ever did. Now, go and sin no more. And if you do sin, it better be something that you don't know that you were supposed to be doing or not doing. That's what's in this word. This is how he has judged in the past and Torah. This is how he's going to judge in the future. And because we're living at a time where he is dispensing grace, we think that we have an unlimited amount of grace, that we can just keep breaking his word and keep doing wrong and keep saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you, that ain't the way it's going to work. Because we're not believing what is written. We're not believing it. So we are to be in subjection to the rulers. We're going to be in subjection to him. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. If you get rulership, you will have to rule exactly like he rules with a rod of iron. He says it in, I don't know if this is in Matthew or in Luke, but all those who would not have me to rule over them, all those who would not obey my commandments, bring them here and kill them before me. That's how hard it's going to be. It's not going to be, oh, you get another chance to get it right. It's not going to be, yeah, you know, I understand. That flesh was weak and you just couldn't stop. No, bring them here. Now kill them right there in front of me. This is what is written. But we can't see that Messiah for some reason. We can't hear those words. So he says, be lawful. Be afraid of lawlessness, of being lawless, of being unrighteous. Be afraid of that. Let's continue. Without them, be afraid of power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Do that which is good. Be lawful. Keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Keep the laws of the land, unless they violate the laws of the Most High. Do good, and you shall have praise of the same. Don't matter. You know, our problem is that, and I'm speaking of the black community in this country, that, you know, all communities have this issue. You know, they want to say black on black crime. Truth of the matter is, if you live in an all-white neighborhood, the chances of you being robbed by somebody white is greater than it is being robbed by somebody black. The chance of you being killed by somebody white is greater than you being killed by somebody black. Same thing if you're in a black neighborhood, because most crime is local. But they want to paint a picture that, you know, this black-on-black crime is like, you know, we're more apt to attack ourselves and hurt ourselves. So when they attack us, how are you going to say something when you're killing your own people? They're killing their own people, too. But it's an agenda, okay? So we got to understand that we have to be righteous. We have to judge men according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. We have to judge men according to the laws and be just about it. And under the laws of man, under, you know, the laws of the institutions of this land, that's not always equal. We don't all get, you know, the same fair shake or the same shake as somebody else may get, but you know, I can only speak for myself. I haven't really been abused personally by the law of this land, but I've not been a lawbreaker either. Well, I can't say that. I wasn't caught. Let's just put it that way. I wasn't caught breaking the law of the land when I was breaking the law of the land. But then when I have had run-in with the police, I have not been abused by the police. I wasn't slammed to the, you know, to the ground. I wasn't thrown against the car. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't abused. But I can't say that my people haven't been abused, because I clearly see it. I clearly have had relatives abused. But then it's all about how you project yourself and what you got caught doing. What were you? Were you puffed up? Were you trying to show that you were bad? You know, were you, you know, not showing respect? And then you know you live in a land that they're not, you're not equal as far as they're concerned. They left, they would rather shoot you than look at you. If you do something wrong, you know, you can't be carrying a pistol. Are you carrying? Yes. They go to a whole different level. I'm telling you, I'm carrying. It's in the glove compartment. And if you're smart, you say, officer, I'd rather for you to come around and get it than you reach for it. Because you reach for it, they know you're trying to comply, but they still just might shoot you. That's where you live at. A whole different standard, a whole different mentality. They can run, ride down the street, walk down the street carrying M16s and AK-47s. Police will ride up on them and say, what are you doing with that weapon? Let you do that. Be a person of color and do that. Get on the ground. Don't let you be slow and compliant. Don't let you sling the weapon the wrong way. Just got shot 50 times. Different requirements. Different standards. But, you know, as I said, I have not been abused that way when I've been stopped. But I've known how to act, behave, how to project myself. I'm not being confrontational. I'm not, no, I'm not carrying anything. Now I live in a state that is legal to carry in. And when I go up to the land, yes, I'm going to be carrying. And if I get stopped, I'm going to be told off, yes, I'm carrying. It's in the glove compartment. No, sir, I'm not going over there to get it. You go get it. You got some concerns? I don't want you to think that, try to use me as an excuse to, just so you can say you shot somebody. Because that's the mentality of the land, because it is wicked. Dual standard. So you have to know where you're at. You have to know where you're at. You got people here that run around with weapons on their waist. And, you know, in open. But don't be black and do that. Same law, same land, but applied differently based upon your race. Because the truth of the matter is, and you got to, you know, just understand the truth of the matter. Back in the 60s when we armed ourselves, they don't ever want to see that again. That's coming from the top. We don't want to see them armed like that again. So if they're armed, kill them. That's coming from the top in the CIA. That came from Herbert Hoover, and it's still a matter of policy. That's why all these police departments do what they do. You got to understand where you're at, understand who you are. Still be law-abiding. If you're keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, then 99.9% of the time, you're not going to be breaking their laws. And where you are breaking them is going to be on a moral issue. So understand that. Verse 4. For he is the minister of Elohim to thee for good. Supposed to be. If it's in the body, it has to be. If we're in our own communities and if we're self-governing, then we are supposed, this is supposed to be how it works for us. Those people that we put in charge to enforce the law. They're supposed to be there for the good of the body. And really supposed to be there for people who are coming from the outside. Because if we're in the body, then we should be, what, obedient? We should be obeying the laws of the Most High. Then we have somebody walking in the flesh, being covetous and stealing, being, you know, letting being affected by the world, getting caught up on drugs and breaking into people's houses or stealing from them or prostituting themselves or doing whatever, then yeah, it has to be dealt with. But it has to be dealt with in a righteous and just way. But righteous and just don't always mean you getting some mental health. You going to a psychiatrist. That ain't the statutes. Those aren't the standards of the Most High. For he is the minister of Elohim to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. You got a weapon. You do something. Remember what I said. 99.99% of all the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High come with a judgment, a penalty of death. For transgression. You want to say, oh no, they can be rehabilitated. They can be whatever. It's not the standard of the Most High. And so most people don't want to get with the standards of the Most High. Oh, no, because I know I got that same problem. I don't want you killing me or my child or anybody else for a transgression that the world won't kill them for. But the Most High has a different standard. That's why he says, be afraid. That's why he says, fear him. His standards are not the same standards of the world. And somehow, somewhere, some kind of way, the world has inflicted its time. That's why we got all this mess in the church. That's why we got all this mess in the body. Israel didn't want to keep it. It's the truth of the matter. The Most High wants this done. But, you know, I'm guilty of that. I just didn't get caught. So now you want me to do this to this brother or this sister who got caught? That's why Messiah said when they brought him the woman that was accused of adultery. Didn't bring the man, but brought her. The law required that they bring them both. She couldn't have been committing adultery by herself. But they brought her to set up. But they were all guilty. So he says, let you who is without sin cast the first. He didn't say what sin. Let you, because they knew if it was sin, 99.9% of the time, it required death. You bring this woman to be put to death. But probably your sin itself calls for death. Let you who is without sin throw the first stone. They left. He was the only one left. He says, where are your accusers at? He says, neither do I accuse you then. But he knew she was guilty. But the law required two or three witnesses. He was the only one left. He says, neither do I accuse you then. Because the law required two or three. He's the only one left. If he had condemned her by the law, he would have sinned. He would have broken the law. He didn't tell her, oh, you were falsely accused. He told her, go and sin no more. Because the law called for death. His law. So the world wants to put his standard on him. But he's got a completely different standard, even than what's taught by the churches. That's why he says, can you believe it? Can you believe what you're reading? For he is the minister of Elohim to thee for good. But if thou do evil, that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. He ain't just carrying that sword for nothing. He ain't just carrying that gun for nothing. For he is the minister of who? Elohim. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. So he's not playing. He never has been playing. He's not going to be playing. And this is what Israel did not want to follow. This is where Israel had no faith. It would not carry out his judgment. They went about to establish their own righteousness. The Most High said, you do this, the penalty is this. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. We're going to do something else and say that is right. We'll come up with our own punishment. We'll establish our own standards. But he's telling you right here, this is his standard. And you should be very afraid to be lawless, to be unrighteous, to walk in iniquity. But we got this world, people are unrighteous, unlawful, and be bragging about it. Take pleasure in it. Brag about it. Brag with their friends. But those days are coming to an end. And a lot of people, the bad that get into the kingdom, because there are going to be some bad that get into the kingdom, they're going to find themselves in the lake of fire real quick. Let me say this. We got through about four verses. Five, maybe. Let me say this to drive this point home. The system that we are up under right now, where we sin, we say we're sorry. We say the Most High is merciful. And he'll forgive us. We die, we go to the grave. We get resurrected under the new system that the Most High is putting in place. Death, hell, and the grave are thrown into the lake of fire. No more death, no more hell, no more grave. He says, now, every new moon and every Sabbath, I think on a rotating basis, all of the nations have to come to Jerusalem and look upon the bodies that are in the lake of fire. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that he makes those individuals look upon those people in the lake? Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 20. And I'm getting off this. Off of my lesson plan, but go to Revelation chapter 20. And I want everybody to go there. I want you to read this with me. I want you to understand the new system that he's going to put in place. I want you to understand what these verses are saying to you. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Because people read these verses all the time and they pull out of them what they want to pull out of them, but it's really there. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he had laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So Satan is bound. He's restricted. He can't tempt nobody. Nobody can say the devil made me do it, because Satan's going to be bound 1,000 years or one day. One prophetic day or 1,000 years, okay? A day to the Most High, because that's 1,000 years. So one day to the Most High, but Satan's going to be put out of the way, okay? And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Until when? Until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season, a little while. So I'm going to lock him away for 1,000 years. And for 1,000 years, y'all can't blame him for nothing. Can't say he came and his minions came and deceived me. He seduced me. Can't blame it on him. Okay? And I saw the thrones, verse 4, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua. Now, if you're listening to me, this don't apply to you. Because if you're listening to me and you've been beheaded, I don't want to know. Okay? For the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim. If you've been killed for the witness of Yeshua, or for the word of Elohim. This is a specific group of people. Okay? Let's see what goes on with this group. Neither have received his, neither which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. So we got a group of people here who were beheaded. Why? For the testimony of Yeshua or for the word of the Most High. None of us have gone through this yet. They didn't take the mark of the beast. They didn't worship his image or take it in their forehead or in their hand. And these lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So you want to qualify for a throne and to reign in Messiah's kingdom? You have to have died for the word of the Most High or the testimony of Christ. Everybody's not going to rule with him. You got to have suffered with him the same death. You don't have to be crucified. You could have been beheaded, could have been shot, stabbed. But it's the reason that you died. Was it for the word of the Most High? Was it for the testimony or witness of Yeshua? Or when it's the time of trials and tribulations, did you try to save your life by taking the mark of the beast? You disqualified yourself. But if you got killed for not taking the mark of the beast, for not bowing down to his image, then you're going to reign with him 1,000 years. So if you ain't dead because of the word of the Most High, if you ain't dead for the witness of Yeshua, if you haven't had a chance to reject the mark of the beast and you're still walking around here, this verse does not apply to you. You do not get to reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 5. This is where we fall in at. But the rest of the dead, if we die, And it wasn't for the witness of Yeshua or for the word of the Most High, if it's not for not, you know, for being killed, for not worshiping the beast, then we fall into verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So he's going to resurrect all those people who were killed for the witness of Messiah or for the word of the Most High. All those who don't worship the beast and who are killed. They are resurrected during the first resurrection, and they get to reign with him 1,000 years. So all through time, anybody that died for the Most High, all of his prophets, who are spreading the gospel and get killed because they're witnessing for Messiah, they're witnessing for the word of the Most High, and they get killed because of that. Or the time comes when Antichrist comes into the world and you refuse to take the mark, and you are killed because you refuse to take the mark. Or maybe you survive. You're thrown into prison and you're beaten and done whatever, but you don't take the mark. Then you're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you get to reign with him 1,000 years because you suffered with him. But the rest of everybody else, I don't care if they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years is up. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Why? On such, on them, the second death has no power. The lake of fire has no power over these people, these groups. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Qualifies to reign with him. When he says the crown of life is not a crown on a throne. That's the crown of life, eternal life. But if you want a throne, then you must have suffered with him. You can read that in Romans chapter 8. You had to have suffered with him. You had to have given your life. Literally. That's why it says, you can't love mother, father, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, niece, nephew, nobody, not even yourself, more than you love him. Because it might call for your life. And if you love your life more than you love him, if you don't believe that he's going to resurrect you, you might try to save yourself. He says, but if you give your life, then I'm going to give you a throne. And you're going to rule with me 1,000 years. But everybody else who believed on me, kept my statutes, my laws, my commandments, received the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, you're not resurrected the first resurrection. They don't qualify for it. Stuff the dead. Live not again until the 1,000 years were up. Okay? And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So now these people have reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. They are not subject to what? The second death. They're not subject to the great white throne judgment. They've already proven themselves. They don't go back through judgment again. They're not subject to it. But everybody getting up in the second resurrection after the 1,000 years is subject to the lake of fire. I hope we can hear this. Let's read verse 6 again. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. We're going to read down below that the second death is the lake of fire. They're not subject to the second death. but they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, after that 1,000 years, hey.
Come on.
All right, sorry about that. Blessed, holy, he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years is expired, when it's over, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So now we're going to let Satan back out to do what Satan does. Satan's job is to show what's in you. You can't be tempted with anything that is not in you. If you don't smoke cigarettes, can't nobody tempt you with a cigarette. If you don't smoke crack, can't nobody tempt you with crack. If you don't take heroin, can't nobody tempt you with heroin. You can only be tempted by what's in you. That's what Satan does. So he's loosed on the nations to show what's in them. Y'all been under Messiah for 1,000 years, and y'all been under the saints of the Most High for 1,000 years. But they ain't all righteous people. And they don't all want to live this lifestyle. So Satan is loosed out to show who really wants to live this way and who doesn't. And you're going to be surprised. He'll go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, wait a minute. All these people who are alive have been up under Messiah for 1,000 years. But all the people, the number is as the sand of the sea. You can't number them. They are able to be deceived. They are able to be tempted. Because of what's in them. They're not fully committed to the Most High. They're not fully committed to Messiah. What's new? Let's keep on going. Verse 9. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth, the width of the earth. Meaning that if you were in America, they would be spread across this land. Canada, spread across the land. South America, spread across the land. They're coming up against the saints of the Most High. They're coming up against the Most High. A number that can't be numbered. That's the sands of the sea. Been up under Messiah for 1,000 years, and they ain't happy. Hear what's happening. And they surrounded, compassed, the camps of the saints. They surrounded the camps of the saints about and the beloved city. Now what happens? The Most High says, all right, y'all done showed y'all hand. Y'all done showed y'all hand. You done show who loves me and who don't. We're not going to fight this battle. And Elohim and fire came down from heaven out of heaven, and he devoured them. This number that couldn't be numbered. The Most High says, yep, you're going to surround my people. You're going to surround the beloved city. I'm just going to rain down fire and burn you up. I'm just going to rain down fire and burn you up. You've been up under Messiah for 1,000 years, and you still want to rebel? Now, they just got killed. They got to be resurrected along with all the other dead. Let's keep going. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. He didn't serve his purpose. This is what the lake of fire was originally created for. Satan and his minions. Or these are spiritual beings that normal fire don't hurt. So the Most High has to create the lake of fire. It's a special type of fire. designed to hurt spiritual beings, to torment them. And the devil that was deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And the beast and the false prophet are, where the beast and the false prophet are, they're already in the lake. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Tormented day and night until they pay their penance. No, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Boom! Atmosphere gone. Boom! All the water on the earth is dried up. All the dead come forth out of the ground, out of the sea. They are resurrected. And there was found no place for them. Who? The dead. No place was going to hide the dead. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Now, the books that were opened are the books that contain all the works of every person that has to go through this judgment. And then the Lamb's book of life is open. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. So, Brother Miles, you didn't make it during the first resurrection. You came up in the second resurrection. Here are your works. Blah, 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 blah. Let's put them in the fire. Which of those works did you do for the Most High? Which of those works did you do for you? Whatever's left after the fire, that's your reward. That's in another place. Okay. According to their works, you're going to be judged according to your work. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Nobody, none of those people that got burnt up, all those people that got burnt up, they all got to be resurrected. All those people that were, death and hell are really the same thing. Okay. Technically speaking, like saying the same thing. But they're resurrected, all of the dead. And they were judged, every man according to their work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. No more death and hell. Nobody's dying anymore. Everybody is put on eternity. So you got judged according to your work. Then you put on eternity. You put on eternal life. No more death. That's in the lake of fire. No more grave. No more hell. That's in the lake of fire. That old system is gone. It's done away with. Now, this is the second death, the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, if your name was not written in the Lamb's book of life, you were cast into the lake of fire. I hope we can get this. So you're resurrected. You put on eternity. You are judged according to your works. And it's checked whether your name is in the Lamb's book of life. Name in the book? Yep, gone into the kingdom. But what are you still subject to? The lake of fire. The only ones that are not subject to the lake of fire are those that came up in the first resurrection. They're not subject to it. Never will be. But all those that came up in the second resurrection, they are always going to be subject to the lake of fire. Always. They're in the kingdom. So you make it into, so everybody who's not, did not make it in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're thrown into the lake. First cut, whoop, you go to the lake. All those that took the mark of the beast, to the lake. All those who are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, to the lake. Now the rest of you that came up in the second resurrection, you're in the kingdom. Go to Isaiah 66. You're in the kingdom. Isaiah 66. See where we're going to start. Think about 22. Starting 22. Because the rest of that up there is about those nations coming against the Most High. Those nations coming against the Most High. So let's start in 22. For as the new heaven and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yah. Now remember, these are all people who are in the kingdom. They're not in the lake. All flesh shall come worship before me. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Everybody that's in the kingdom, those that came up in the second resurrection, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, has to come look upon those people who are in the lake of fire. Because if you sin, after that point, there is no have mercy. There is no forgive me. It is, you're going to be thrown in the lake. That is the new system. Subject to the lake. So you can think about that you want to do some wrong. Ain't going to be no sacrifice for sin. There ain't going to be no blood that you can come up under. You made it into the kingdom. Now mess up and do something wrong. You are still fired. That's why he has you to come and look upon it. Look at it. Look at how those people are suffering. You want to go through that? Mess around and act up. Mess around and do something wrong. That's why he says the people in the first resurrection aren't subject to the lake of fire. They aren't subject to the second death. But the people that get up during the second resurrection, after the 1,000 years, their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's going to be true to his word. But they are still subject to the second death. They are still subject to the lake of fire. So you go look at them and see how they are in anguish, how there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mess up if you want to. And that's where you're going to get thrown in at. That's really what's going to happen. That's what he says. Bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you on today, Father. Father, we know that you are serious about everything that you say. that you don't play, and that you are going to judge us according to our hearts and everything that you have told us to be. That is how you want us to be. And you don't want us to fall short, so you tell us to consider the cost. To be disobedient will cost us our life. To be disobedient will cause us eternity in the lake. But to be good, that good and faithful servant, will get us into your kingdom, and that we would love being in your kingdom and keeping your laws, because if we don't, we're going to be disobedient, and we're going to still get thrown in the lake. There won't be any mercy. There won't be any grace after this point. So, Father, we thank you for revealing in your word your will, your perfect will, and that you are not an unjust Elohim. You're not an unjust God. And that you will have what you will have. Each of us must make up within ourselves our own mind. What do we want? You give us the choice. Unless we are part of your plan to bring about a certain thing, then we have a choice. We have to choose. We have to choose life. And then you must choose us. If it's your will to choose us. Father, I know that we can't even hear this or understand it or accept it, except we belong to you. And we will accept that this is your way. And know that it is perfect, no matter what we may think. Your ways are perfect and that they are just, Father, and we just accept it. Father, my prayer is that you would help each and every one of us. Help us, help us, help us, help us. Send us help. Help us to walk upright before you. Whatever we need, if we can't see, Father, remove the scales from our eyes. If we can't hear, unstop our ears. If we can't understand, give us understanding. That we would love you and fear you for who you are. That we would desire your way of life. That we don't just say we want to be in your kingdom because we're afraid of death, but we don't really want to keep your ways. That you would give us a heart and a mind and the willpower to walk in your ways. Say my prayer. Amen and amen. All right. We got through maybe four or five of the B's out of the 35 or so that we still have left. Don't know if we will be, I don't know what the precept will be on this evening, whether we will continue in the law of B. But I pray that you get it. I pray that you get it. That the Most High wants, he's looking for a certain people. And the more you understand about what he's looking for, the more that you become what it is that he's looking for. And I pray that he helps each and every one of us because we all need help. So until we meet again, whatever, you know, I think that we'll probably continue in this on this evening. But if the Most High says different, then we'll do different. Right now, we will still be in the law of B. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Only the Most High can do that. It is my job to teach you what thus saith Yah Elohim and to show you in the scriptures. For this purpose did he call me. For this reason do I live. Shalom, family. Love you and see you on this evening. Peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your day. Wrong song. Put your glasses on, Miles.
Brother Miles, along with Sister Mary.
Peace and blessings. See you guys later.
All right. Okay.